2008 lecture series, lecture 5, pills help free body cells to be activated upon by a stem cell. Pills give body a rest so it can effectively return to its original purity and integrity. Activity of medicine and stem cell utilization and pain pills let the body heal more quickly. Pills help the body cells to be activated upon by the stem cell. Now, that sounds like we're promoting pills, but we're not promoting pills. We're merely saying that when you are in the hospital and you are being treated and the doctors are giving you pills for one thing or another, pain pills or what have you, these pills can be beneficial. They can be beneficial insofar as they let you stay alive long enough to get busy with your attitude, get busy with your consciousness about yourself so that you can put your body into perfect shape. Now, do you want your body to be in perfect shape? And the answer is no. You don't want your body to be in perfect shape. If you want your body to be in perfect shape, you would think about your body being in perfect shape. But you think about your body not being in perfect shape, so therefore you don't want your body to be in perfect shape. Yeah. Stupid, isn't it? But that's what we do. Now, a teacher says, all right, you've been a bad boy. You write on the blackboard, I have been a bad boy. I will not be a bad boy anymore. I have been a bad boy. I will not be a bad boy anymore. You know, write it 100 times. What a terrible thing to do. What the teacher might do is to say, I am a thoughtful, loving, kind boy, and I enjoy my class. I am a thoughtful, loving, and kind boy, and I enjoy my class. Or whatever else she wants to say. But positive, to the point that they want to bring up. They don't want to have him be a naughty boy. Or do they? What do the teachers talk about at the end of the day? How many nice children they had, or how many naughty children they had? They talk about how many naughty children they have. Oh, I had a naughty boy, a naughty girl. I had this, I had that. You know, they don't say, you know, I have a class of 30 kids, and 28 of those kids are perfect angels. You know, perfect, wonderful angels. And they are. They're cooperative. They do everything right. And what, do the teachers say that? No. They are trained to say, I have two little devils in that class who are making hell out of everything, making it all miserable. But you got 28 angels in there. Start giving attention to those angels and start realizing that they are the majority of your class. The two boys who are having problems, take them aside. When you put your angels to work on their project, you take the two boys aside. Go in the cloakroom or go somewhere apart from the rest of the group and say, boys, or boy and girl, whichever they are, I know that you're just irritated with class because it doesn't meet up to your standards, and you are so brilliant. You have such great potential in you, such great talent in you, and I have not been able to challenge it. I have not been able to use your talents so that you got excited about going to school. But I'm going to do you a favor and me a favor. Every day, if you will do me the honor of coming to school 1 hour early, I will be here 1 hour early for you, and we will go over special high-class stuff just for your brilliant minds. What do you think those kids would do? They would say, wow, somebody understands me, you know? And then what would happen to the rest of the class? They would be infected by these stem cells. And everybody else in the class would say, hey, we want some of that too. You know, we're brilliant too. You know, we'd like that too. And pretty soon, what these kids, who are the bad ones, they are helping the teacher teach the class. They're getting up on the board and writing things down. They're helping straighten out the room. They're doing all the little things because they Somebody finally understands them. Somebody finally realizes that they're not bad kids, that they're just not challenged. That they're so brilliant that going through the machinations of the course that they have is baby's play. It's child's play. They used to do it. Chittaberry. You saw Chittaberry here?
Chittaberry, yes.
I mean, he's a stupid kid. Dumb as they come. He went in, took his test, skipped a year. Top boy, brilliant, just like his mother. Now he's jumping and ready for college preparatory stuff, you know. Doing all the things in perfect order. Brilliant. Well, who inspired him? These people. Yes. Chittaberry lived here with them for a long time. And they inspired him to be the best, the finest, the most wonderful. They taught him how to enjoy himself and be pure love. And he is. He is. He's getting better all the time. But then he had to go away because it was more than he could take. Because they expected him to be the genius that he is right now. And he wanted to be the genius he is in a year or so. But that's okay. That's okay. You see, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. What do we expect out of the children in the class? That's what they give us. Do we expect that they're going to be mean little kids? Then they're going to be mean little kids. Do we expect them to be beautiful, geniuses, magical kids, fantastic kids who are talented beyond imagination? Then that's what they are. These are the way the stem cell is implanted into their brain, into their being, to come forth with the genius that they are. The genius is already there. It's just that you got to ignite it some way. Now, each of you here, we have basically 15 people here, and each of you here, what do you do? What do you do? Each of you are challenged differently than the other. Some of you have interests in one thing, some another. Like Emmanuel here, he likes building his houses. He likes working on his house. And Benny is doing the same thing. And I don't know what the rest of you are doing, but maybe you have interest too. And you're interested in photography, and you're interested in sound systems and stuff like that, right?
Magazine publishing.
Well, that's part of it too. Okay, you're interested in magazine publishing. Okay, now, if we know that, then what do? We equate the subject in the area of magazine publishing so that we have his interest, and then he says, oh yeah, we could do it this way too, and we could do it that way, and we could have this books in print, and or what are they, electronic books, or no, books in print, where you only print up maybe 100 or 200 books, and whenever you need them, you send them in and have them resent. They have, you know, they're already there to be printed. You're aware of that. Yeah. So that's a handy thing. That way the individual companies don't have to keep the books on hand. And then the books are always fresh. And so that's a very excellent way of doing it. Now, does he understand that? Sure. Is that his cup of tea? Yeah. Now, if I wanted to get him to understand something, I put it in terms of things that he's interested in. And the same with children. The same with any of you. Put it in terms of things that you're interested in. Now, Peter, he has two kids that are over in Norwalk in California. And they're doing just fine. And he would be interested in going over to visit them and say hi. He'd be interested in going over and visiting campus and say hi. So, see, that's an interest that he would have. Now, maybe he's not as interested as he might appear to be because there are other factors that come into play, like money. For tickets, they do cost money. But the thing is, whatever desire you have of your heart, if Peter wanted to do that, if that were really important for him to do, do you know that the money would be there for him to do it, and
yes,
it would take away from nothing else?
Exactly, yes.
It would take away from nothing else. If that's his choice, but he doesn't really want to do it because he hasn't put that cause in motion, maybe he will now. But if you put that cause in motion, it's all there. It's all there. And you, we get you back up on the floor dancing again. You know, da 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 da. Na 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 na. None of that nonsense. None of that nonsense. See, we have a tendency to fall back on the old picture of ourselves. You're the new man now. You're up there dancing. You're up there having a great old time. And you're getting younger by the years, you know?
Yes.
Right? He was telling me, he says, the best way to stay young is to have a young wife. And I think that's true. The best way to stay young is to have a young wife. You all have young wives?
Yes.
And young husbands?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thank you,
less
wife.
Thank you, less
husband.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What? This is the mind. This is of mind.
So, this is the important part for us to consider on this. Now, pills give the body a rest so it can effectively return to the original purity and integrity. My brother-in-law Bill, I told you the story last time, I believe. He was he had a heart transplant. You know, one of these quadruple bypass sort of thing, and everything went fine, but it was a strain on him, and the healing process was very painful, and so the doctor said he should take pills to take away the pain so that the healing process could take place. I don't use pills. I don't use pills to take pain away and stuff. And so my sister was telling me about it, and I told her, I said, well, there is a way that you can work with Bill to get him to take the pills and have him feel good about it. And she says, what is it going to be? I said, well, you ask the doctor. Would he heal faster taking the pills, or would he heal faster not taking the pills? What would help him to get out of that hospital quickest? And so they talked to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, of course. If you take the pills, then the pain is taken away by the pill and you're not fighting it. And the energy that you would be using to fight the pill, the pain, you're now using to heal. And that energy would heal. And he would be out of the hospital in a week, whereas it'd be 6 weeks if he didn't take the pills. Because it just takes time, because you're fighting. So he took the pill and he was out in seven days, yeah. Fantastic. Now, you have to get across the message on how to do it. Now, how do our stem cells work? They work the same way. When we have a pain, we instantly say, ah, da, 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 and our headache goes away. Now, maybe there's some other acupuncture points or acupressure points in our body that would take away these things, and there are. There are many meridians going through the whole body, and there are ones that you can use. But why not, instead of using these meridians, instead of using these physical pain things, speak your word. I am whole and perfect. I am whole and perfect. And then say, all right, this is my body. My body. I am the director general of this body. I am in charge of telling this body how to function. I will leave to my autonomic nervous system all the things that tell me how to digest my food and how to see and how to speak and how to do all these things. I'll just leave that to my autonomic nervous system. But the rest of my body, where it's having a little difficulty, I'm going to tell these 10,000 brain stem cells I have to button in to the area where it tells my body it's whole and perfect. Now, we have a hypothalamus that's down in our throat area here, and the hypothalamus is the one that helps to direct the enzymes that are passing through our system and into our body, helping it to heal. I can sound real intelligent if you like, and go on with all these different things. Now, I'm going to tell my hypothalamus to wake up and to give some extra energy to the various areas so that they would heal properly, and then the stem cells can do their perfect work there Now, I'm going to tell them to do that. Now, it sounds fascinating, doesn't it? Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun and it'd be very effective. But be careful. If you allow yourself to do specific healing, you're going to have to do specific healing everywhere. If you keep yourself in general healing, then you cover the whole thing. And this is what you want to cover, because you don't know, maybe it's your toe that's hurting, that has a problem, that is sending that to the hypothalamus, which is telling the hypothalamus to do this and that and the other. And it has nothing to do with what you think it has to do with. Because this is oftentimes the case. Did you know that the acupuncturist, if you have a toothache, what does he do? He puts a needle in your toe. If you have a toothache, he puts a needle in your toe. Because that's how the meridians operate, and that's how they function. And it works. It's the most amazing thing. It could be very attractive and challenge and cause you to be very interested in doing it. But I say stay away from all that stuff. Only from the point of view, if you just keep yourself on thought only, keep yourself on seeing yourself as everything in divine order, seeing your stem cells doing their particular job, that's bad enough. But for years we haven't seen our stem cells doing anything, and we've let them run away with the thought that they have to grow old and they have to die. And that's not true. A stem cell, or any cell, any bodily cell, any cell taken out of the body right now, put into a petri dish, this is a little laboratory dish, in which they put nutrients to keep it alive, which the cell would normally get in the body, but it's pure. And it doesn't have the effect of the lymph nodes, the lymph fluid in it, and the lymph fluid is an aging fluid of the body. It tells you when your body is supposed to have certain activities take place. And so the lymph fluid, it does not affect the cell that is in the dish by itself. And that cell in the dish stays whatever age it was, and if they put something else in there, it even gets younger. But it stays the age it was as long as they maintain it with the normal nutrients that it has been having for whatever its life's been. It does not age. Aging is something that takes place because of information that is in our lymph fluid gland, in our lymph fluid fluid. Yeah, and this is true. This is very true. One fellow, I think I told you about this years ago, one fellow scientist took some lymph fluid out of his body and put it away, and 10 years later he put it back in his body, and his body reverted to 10 years earlier, to what he had been 10 years earlier. And of course there's a lot of people who would like to have fluid taken out of their body, and when they get to be 80 years old, have it pumped back into their body and have them be 25 again. Wouldn't that be an exciting adventure? But you don't have to do that. You can, by thought, take care of all these little projects and have all these little things done so beautifully, if you wish. But it means that you have to be in charge. You have to be in charge of how your thinking is. Now, this is the activity of medicine and stem cell utilization. That takes place by our thought system. The activity of medicine and stem cell utilization. Stem cells are there, okay? They've always been there. They're just born new all the time in your body, but we have never used them. And medicine has helped to kill the stem cells. Medicine has helped to keep the stem cells from doing their rejuvenating work. And it keeps it from doing the rejuvenating work because the stem cells do not think they have to do that job. They just sidle in with the other cells in the area that they are and become one as them, getting older and getting less useful. Now, we want to learn how to take our mind and utilize our mind to accomplish our goal. Oh, With children, it's very easy. With new students, it's very easy. I have new students taking the Art and Science of Wholeness course, and they come in and they've got all sorts of problems. Immediately, they put the causes into motion for themselves, for wholeness and perfection. And by the time they're two-thirds of the way through the course, they are healed of their cancer, they're healed of their this, they're healed of their that. And they say, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And I say, you're just beginning. You're just beginning. You've got the outer effects done. Now you want to get the inner reality of why, not why, but the inner reality of why it happened. You don't need to know why, but you go after the causes. You go after the causes by putting this new concept in motion. I am whole and perfect. You see? And you don't say, I am whole and perfect, and I don't have cancer, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that. You don't name those things. If you name those things, then you are back in that ballpark again. You are back in those experiences again. And that's not what you want to do. So, in the Course, we say repetition, 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 repetition. We say, I like me, I like me. I'm God, God I am. I'm whole and perfect. These are general healing aspects. They're general healing topics that are vital and dynamic for every person who does it. A lot of people say, well, I don't need to take the course because I know all that stuff. That's great. That's great. You say you know, well, like my dad. If my dad were here today and he were, say, 27 years old, as he was when he was 27 years old, and he were here today, he would have a great deal of difficulty driving the cars today. Because he's used to having the spark and the gas on the steering column, you know. He's used to having three pedals for the shifting of gears and so forth in the Model T. And he's used to that. Now, he'd say, wow, what's all this here? You know, it's like having the living room out in the car. He said, that's beautiful. That's all right, you know. And if he were 25, like he was. Now, he died at the age of 60-something or 70, and he was into the newer cars, and he knew them, so it would not be unusual. But if at the age of 25, when he was first beginning, and he is getting out of the service and having cars and other things, that would be quite different. Be quite different. He wouldn't know. So, if you go back to your original purity and integrity, it may take you back to an area where it doesn't make sense to do the things that you're doing. Remember, again, all of you are so extremely young, you don't remember these days, but years ago, people used to eat foods that were really beneficial for them. The natural foods, the natural things from the garden. They would eat so many things, and meat was a rarity. They'd have chicken maybe once a week, or if that often. And it was, this. It's not because you're rich or poor, it's just that that's what was done. And everybody was healthier, but they died younger. They died younger because they thought they're supposed to die younger, because that's what the doctor told them. 4 score and 10 years or something like that, 4 score and 10 years is what the age was. That's 85. So, isn't that silly? Isn't that silly to tell yourself that you have to die young? Well, years ago, we did not fill our body with smoke. We did not drink a lot. We did not use vegetables that were non-beneficial to us, that were covered with all the poisons and the oxidants that are put into them, and then it goes into our body, you know? This is what we are doing today. You go into the grocery store and you buy the food from the grocery counter, and it's all supposed to be so pure. It's purely chemical. It's had chemical poured over it from top to bottom, soaking in and soaking out, and that's what you're eating, and you're thinking it's all so healthy. Now, I don't mean to give you a hard time there. It will be healthy if you think it's healthy. But you think it's healthy, so it's not too bad. But it is stupid, isn't it? It's stupid. We pour these chemicals in there, and they go contrary to our body. Then we have to take antioxidants to get rid of these chemicals that we put into our body, because they're not harmonious with our body's functioning. And we say, well, why should we have all these antioxidants? We never used them back in Grandma's day. Well, Grandma didn't have all those chemicals poured on there. When the manure from the barnyard was put on the crops, it helped them to grow beautifully and wonderfully, and the soil filtrated all of the things out of it so that it was of a benefit. But you see, we're living in a different era. We're living in a different life. So now, no matter what you do, you cannot be successful unless you are in charge of your thinking. If you can be in charge of your thinking, none of these things will have any effect on you. If you can be in charge of your thinking, you will be the master of your body, the master of your affairs, the master of your world. But you're not. You sit down at the table and somebody serves you a meal, you eat all that they serve you because you want to be polite. Well, if you're full, stop. If you're full, stop. Remember what we said about the mice? They were given a starvation diet, and they lived five lifetimes longer. Not just 5 years longer, but five lifetimes longer. Because that's how you grade it. If you're looking at a fruit fly and you say five lifetimes longer, it is not a long span by the fruit fly's point of view and the human point of view. Because a fruit fly's life, I think, is just a matter of days. So that is not too great a compliment. But percentage-wise on that, it's something to think about. So how do we put the right causes in motion to be master of our mind, master of our thinking? Well, we start by putting into our mind the stem cells as we want them. They're there. Now, that's something we can play with. Thought is something very nebulous. It's something very flighty, hard to get your hands on it, hard to get your fingers on it. And so you oftentimes don't put any thought about it. But the stem cells you do. So now visualize a stem cell. Here are the guys that are born in your brain, 10,000 of them every day. And they're standing there looking at you saying, hey, Dad, what do you want me to do? Hey, Mom, what's going on? What's my next task? Just got born, just came aboard. And so you look at them and you say, well, aren't you beautiful? You know, feel about them. Aren't you beautiful? And they say, yeah, but what do you want us to do? You know, we want to go, we want mountains to climb, we want all sorts of things to do. What do you want us to do? And so now comes the test. The test is whether you are willing to tell those stem cells what to do. Are you willing to take those 10,000 stem cells every day and say, all right, stem cells, do your work. Return my entire body to its original purity and integrity, starting with the brain. Return my entire body to its original purity and integrity. And you see, then you start thinking that these stem cells are working through your brain. They're working through your heart. They're working through your liver, lungs, and through your blood and your lymphs. And they're working through it. And you visualize it. You visualize it. You visualize it. And you feel goosebumps all over yourself as you visualize these things. And then you keep saying, every single day, but now I'm going to make it more difficult. The 10,000 stem cells are not born all at once. It's just not, here it is, 8 o'clock, 10,000 stem cells. Okay, boys, go to work. The stem cells are being born throughout the day. Throughout the entire day, they're being born in your brain and the rest of your body. So throughout the entire day, you have to say, all right, boys, here you go. Return my body to its original purity and integrity. My body is its original purity and integrity. Get to work on this and get to work on that. It's something for us to think and something for us to do. It's a mechanism that allows us to feel like we're being positive and we're being effective in doing it. And as you do that, you feel so good. You just really feel good. Your body feels good. Your whole attitude feels just wonderful. It's a marvelous experience. But the tendency is to slough off after a while. The tendency is to drop away from doing it every day, every minute. And the tendency is that way because that's the way you've been trained. You have not been trained to do it every day. Now, I'm going to say to each one of you, you have come to this course to become a pianist. And you're taking this beautiful Juilliard school course in becoming a pianist, in becoming a piano player. And so, every day, spend 4 hours on the piano. Every day, spend 4 hours practicing on the piano. You know, but that's not all. Every day, spend 1 hour on studying music composition. Every day, take another hour on memorizing new pieces so that you have them in your entourage, in your group of pieces that you can play. Every day. And then your teacher says, I want you to take these balls that they sell and have a ball in each hand. And for an hour every day, I want you to take one of those balls that's full of those little beads, things, you know, and work your fingers around it, and work your fingers around it, and work your fingers around it, and work your fingers around that ball. She says, now, in the past, it takes 12 years for you to learn all these things and become accomplished. That's because you're doing a lot of other things while you're doing that. But here, in this school, it's a concentrated program, and you're doing everything at once. Within 6 months, you should play very beautifully. Within a year, you should be marvelous. And within whatever more time it takes, you can be exquisite, like a true professional. No 12 years. But that means 4 hours a day practicing on the piano, an hour a day working with those balls. I mean, your fingers get tired. But they don't. What do they do? What do they do? What do your fingers do?
They are released.
Your fingers get stronger.
Flexible.
Your fingers get stronger, more flexible. Your fingers get more powerful. You don't get tired. You take weights and you lift up weights. And you don't lift up weights so that you get tired of lifting up weights and you can't lift them anymore. You lift up weights so that you can even lift up greater weights. You train yourself to lift up the little weights and then the little stronger and then the little heavier and a little heavier, and pretty soon you're doing bench presses of 200-300 pounds. Fantastic. Now, this is what you can do. And you can go to this music school that I'm teaching, and you will be an absolute genius, which you are already, by the time 6 months is over. By the time a year is over, if you hang with me, I'll have you playing Carnegie Hall. And by the time 2 years is over, you will be another Mozart, creating, composing, revealing the music from within you. And you say, wow, if that is true, I will do that. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because it is true. And I could do that. And I have done it with some people on a very minor scale. But it can be done. But it takes you doing it. You have to do that for an hour every day. You have to play for 4 hours every day. You have to do the study of music composition. You have to do all these things. That's a full... You say, you know, choking on this stuff. No, you aren't. You are revealing your genius. You know, there was a young man living in Switzerland, and the neighbor... man died. And when he died, his wife took all the junk that he had and put it out in the trash. And part of the junk that she put out there was a brand new weightlifting outfit, you know. Brand new everything, the best money could buy. But she had no interest in it anymore. So she put it out there. And this boy went over and he says, are you throwing that out? She says, yeah. May I have it? Oh, please take it. I'll be so glad to have you take it. I'm glad to get it off my front lawn. All that stuff. It was many thousands of dollars worth of stuff, really great stuff. Well, that kid took it home, and he was a normal kid, a very nice kid. His mother is one of our super students, and his father is a retired banker. And The kid did all right, but he had never had any great interest in anything particular, musician, a few other things. So he took this weightlifting system and set it up in the basement. And he went down there, and he spent 3 hours every day working out with those weights. His biceps, you know, my God, his legs, you know, as he does the thing with his legs, pulling up the weights and stuff, rock, just like iron. 3 hours a day. And he keeps it up. He still keeps it up. He loves it. He loves it. It, not just because it makes his body strong, which it certainly does, but it's something where he feels something's happening to him. Now, he may come out to be some gargantuan being, but I doubt that. But, well, maybe he will. His mother is a humongous lady. His father's normal height, but his mother is tremendous. And his mother is a big, not fat, but a big lady. And she throws a scarf over her shoulder, and she walks in, and she is pure grace. She's a princess. Everyone almost wants to genuflect to her because she is so gloriously looking. She thinks she's so gloriously looking. She is a nice looking lady, but she thinks she is, and that makes the biggest difference in the world. And every time she does anything, and she sits like you guys do, right on the floor here in our seminars in Switzerland and so on. She's a fantastic lady, just fantastic. But that boy, he built himself up in 6 to 8 months. Fantastic, you know, rock solid. And then he goes out and he plays soccer with his friends and he plays ball and things like that. And of course, when he kicks that ball, pow, he's got such power behind him, it just goes flying. And he has to be careful. That's a lethal weapon, kicking that ball. But you see, now that is, he had the desire to work 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. And he also had the time. And miracles happened for him. Now, miracles could happen for anybody who spent 4 hours a day training on the piano, an hour a day limbering their fingers, getting their fingers. They will never have arthritis as they do that. They will never have anything wrong with their hands and their cells. Never. The great pianists never get arthritis. The people who are not great, they get arthritis. You know why they get arthritis? Because they think they're doing it too much. They think they're working too hard. They think they're using their fingers too much and their fingers are going to get arthritis. Your fingers don't get arthritis from working them too much. Your fingers get arthritis because you're lazy in your brain and you think they're getting it. Because arthritis does not come by any other means except by your thought. Oh, medical science will tell you things about it, but they have no cure for arthritis because it comes from here. It comes from your mind. Isn't that interesting? Medical science has no cures for a lot of things because it comes from your mind. And they don't know how to cure it. What to do? Well, start with the mind. Start with the thought. Start putting the positive, beautiful thoughts in motion, and you watch the magic and the miracles take place. It's just utterly fantastic. Well, that's them. That family name is Mostrom, and the boy's name slips me at the moment, something like Christian or something like that. But fantastic, beautiful. And this happens with other people too, with other people who are skilled. You know some other people like that? What are they called? Olympiads. People who are in the Olympics. They're crazy people. They're crazy idiots. They spend hours and hours and hours every day training, 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 just to swim, just to be in competition. I mean, what fools! What wonderful experience they're having. What joy they're doing to the body. Now, if they could teach the Olympians one more factor, then they would really be winners. Teach them all to do their personal best. To do their personal best. Do not turn around to look where your competition is. It's back there, of course. But don't turn around and look. Look to your goal. Work on your goal. Run for your personal best. One of my students' husband, a banker in Switzerland, and he wanted to run the marathon. Well, he's a banker, and that is, he runs the computers in the banks. And so he went to run the marathon in New York or someplace, and he didn't practice. He just went there, little flabby guy, nice little guy, nice guy, and he ran the marathon. He ran his best. And he ended up some place like 800 out of 10,000 people. But he was not too bad. He and a little lady, a little old lady in a wheelchair, were tied for their place. But they did their best. And do you think he's proud of what he did? Do you think that he feels good? Now, how could he do that? I mean, that's still pretty good. How could he do that when he didn't practice? He took his thought and said, I will do it, and I will place. Not where I'll place, but I'll place it. I'm just going to go and run and have a good time. And he did. And he was his muscles were not tired, his body was not tired. He just ran, and he enjoyed it. When he needed to stop and take a pause, he stopped. But then he continued on, and he just had a good time. Now, he ran for his personal best. And most amazing guy. You can run for your personal best, too. None of you, and this always sounds terrible when I say that, none of you have any idea what you'd like to do. He says, I want to work in magazine marketing. And that's not true. You want to work in creativity. You want to work in taking an idea and expanding it, perhaps using magazines, perhaps using these various things. But inside of you is a dozen geniuses just bumping around saying, hey, let us out, let us out. And you want to give them a chance. Give them a chance. Whatever things you like to play around with, go play around with it. You'll be surprised. You too. All of you. And you got... See this young man here?
Yes.
See? Tomorrow he'll be of age, he can drink. But what does he do? He thinks that life is wonderful. He thinks that everything is wonderful. He thinks that people are wonderful. He says, I'm a reverend. I'm a minister. Well, many people here are ministers, and that's great. What does he minister to? He likes to say he ministers to the world, but he ministers to himself. The first thing he does is say, I'm a great guy, I'm a wonderful guy, I'm a happy guy. And that's the best kind of ministering to do. And then when you see yourself as a happy guy, what's he going to see the world?
Happy.
A happy world. Is he going to be the greatest blessing to the world? Because first he's a blessing to himself. And that's true for all of us. We are the greatest blessing to the world when first we're a blessing to ourselves, because that's where it's at. That's where we want to be. And we can get our stem cells to work for us if we like ourselves. Otherwise, we'll say, oh, those damn stem cells, they're doing the wrong thing. They're just joining the rest of the group, and they're not, you know, improving anything. They're not going in there and returning them to their original purity and integrity. They're not doing this, and they're not doing that, and they're not doing this, and they're not doing it. And we keep saying it, we keep saying it, we keep saying it, and then we wonder why they're not doing it. We wonder. The mother says to the child, you're wonderful. You're so thoughtful. The child's a miserable little kid. And the mother just keeps saying, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I'm so proud of you. You make me so happy whenever I see you do that. You are such a good guy. Your brothers and sisters, they think you're wonderful. You know, they think you're wonderful. And she tells her kid this again and again and again. And pretty soon, little things the kid begins doing, little things that he begins doing, being a nice type of kid, a super type of kid. Now, the mother didn't force him. She just told him what she believed in him. Now, Are you willing to take the same time that mother did with her child with your stem cells? Are you willing to take the same time that mother did to say to your stem cells that you're whole and perfect, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're wonderful? Are you willing to do that? Then it takes your dedicated self to do that. Because if you don't, what will you be doing? You'll be taking the other side and saying they're not doing it. You're taking the other side. Are you practicing the piano? If you're not practicing the piano, what are you doing? Not practicing the piano. But if you're practicing the piano, you practice the piano. And then when you are not practicing the piano, then you are practicing with these balls to strengthen and make your fingers all liquid silver. And then you're doing your writing of your composition, you're doing your musicology, and you're doing all these things. Years ago, different people have said to me that it's too bad that some parents force their children into learning while they're little children. They should be given a chance to be, to associate with other children, to be with other children, and they shouldn't have to study all the time. Well, that's silly. They don't have to study, but have them study all the time. Make studying so much fun that they want to do it. You join with them in it. Make doing the things that are going to benefit the kid so wonderful that he'll do it. Do you know, and you do, I know, that if you are able to learn languages when you are 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, you'll keep them for life, and you can learn 5 to 10 languages easily. Easily.
Come again, sir.
I'm sorry?
Can you repeat that?
You can learn 5 to 10 languages easily if you train in them as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Because it is utterly fantastic, and it is easy, because you're not against it. But you cannot have other children around saying, come on out and play, come on out and do this, come on out. You are having fun learning the languages. You're having fun applying them to it. Now, what is this? This is a package, you know. What is this? This is a paper. What is this in German? What is it in French? What's it in Italian? What is that in Greek? What's that in Finlandia? What is that in Scandinavia languages? What's that in whatever, you know, in English? What is that? And you see, the kids just love it. It's a game. And you learn too. You should have learned it yourself when you were young, but you didn't. But now you're learning it with them. How fantastic. And when the kids can speak any language on earth, just imagine being able to walk into any country and speak the dialect like a native. Wouldn't that be beautiful? That'd be so glorious to just go anywhere and communicate. Not just say, I'm hungry, food, you know, I need a drink of water. <You know? laughs> Those things will help. But you can do that, because your stem cells know everything. You're not really learning a language from the outside, you're learning it from the inside. When you are aware of what words mean, then you say, oh, I see, I understand, from the inside. You have come to that wisdom. Now, your stem cells are all knowledge. Your stem cells are returning things to original purity and integrity. How can they do that? They have within them the infinite cosmic mind of the universe that is available to them to accomplish any goal they want. They're undifferentiated. They are not specialized cells, and they may never be specialized cells, but they are taking in the whole gambit, the whole field of knowledge, the whole field of understanding. They're fantastic. They're fantastic. And this is who you are. This is where you are. This is what your knowledge is. This is what your ability is. And this is what, just, again, we go back to the phrase, ask and knock and seek and so forth. And boom, 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 there they are. We've got the message. We've got the message again and again and again. You can read Sir Thomas Aquinas and Aurelius you read many of these ancient writers, and they all say the same thing that current philosophers and writers are saying. It's beautiful. They're saying, the mind wants to play with words. You know Bill Gates, this billionaire who has about three or four kids now, and this lovely big home worth $100 million, you know, up in Oregon. Lovely. When Bill Gates has friends over, what do? They play mind games. They play games that titillate the mind, that make the mind come alive. Because they're not interested in banal talk, saying nothing. They're interested only in something that exercises the mind, something that makes them feel alive. They're always in the flow of the know and the go. They're always having this exciting adventure of life and understanding of knowledge. And we can too. And it's not bad. The kids don't need to play. They'll learn how to play just by pure association when it happens, you know. But to get them so they love the books, so they love language, so they love knowledge, so they love to listen and know that by putting thoughts in motion, those thoughts come into reality in their life. It's a wonderful thing. Yes?
How can autistic children be taught to learn?
You want to speak it louder?
How can autistic children be taught to learn?
He is asking me how autistic children can be helped. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
He is asking me how autistic children can be helped. What should I say to Mr. Michael? Anybody? How can autistic children be helped?
To learn.
Yes. What's that, please?
To learn. To learn more.
To learn.
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 How can autistic children be helped?
Yes. To learn.
What's that?
To learn.
You talk to them.
To learn.
All right, now, I will say to you, you are fighting a losing battle and you have lost. Name it and claim it. How do you help an autistic child? You don't. How do you help a perfect child? That way you're working on its perfection and drawing forth its perfection. Somehow, its autistic qualities were drawn forth, and they are drawn forth day after day as the child plays the game with them. The moment some great, beautiful, loving mind starts speaking to that child and acting to that child like they are not necessarily normal, but they're brilliant, they're geniuses. Now, I told you the story about the teacher who was teaching this underprivileged class of low-grade students. They were just all stupid. They're at the bottom of the barrel. And she taught them, what do they call them? Anyhow, she taught them for years and years. And one day the principal came to her and said, Miss Wonderful, you've been teaching this class of the challenged students for years now. When you come back in fall, I'm going to give you the advanced students. The advanced students, not the normal ones, but the advanced students. I'm going to give you the geniuses. And she says, wow, hey, I look forward to that. So she comes back in fall, and meanwhile, the principal's been transferred to another school, and he's not there anymore. But she thinks that the paperwork was all done. She's set up to have this genius class. And so she goes into the class, and the kids are acting like a bunch of idiots, like genius kids do, you know. And she says, well, genius kids aren't much different from the literally deprived children. I wonder how this is going to be. So, but she did not go to them as deprived children. She went to them as genius children. And she talked to them and drew them out as geniuses. She taught to them and taught them as geniuses, and she expected them to be geniuses. She expected them to be brilliant because they're brilliant. Oh, they did the stupid things that the other kids used to do too, but that's kid stuff, you know. And she didn't pay any attention to it. Before she labeled it because they were stupid kids. Now she's not labeling it because they're brilliant kids, you know. And so at the end of the year, her class was the highest class in the entire school, which she expected because they're geniuses, you know. And her class got the award for being the highest class in the school and the best class in the school. And the principal came up to her and said, "Well, Miss Wonderful, you are a teacher par excellence." And she says, "Well, when you're working with geniuses, it's not hard at all." He says, "What do you mean?" "Look, I had the genius class, and it was easy to work." "Miss Wonderful, you didn't have the genius class. You had the same class you've had every year. Why did you think you had the genius class?" "Well, the principal, before he left, he said he was going to have me have the genius class this year, and so I was all prepared for them." He said, "Well, you did a wonderful job. You had the same class you had last year, and you turned every one of them into geniuses. You brought it out." But you see, it wasn't because they couldn't. It's because they weren't expected to be geniuses. And she expected them to... "They're geniuses. What else are they going to do?" And she motivated them, and she made them all feel fantastic. Well, now, do you think that she did something that changed those kids' lives forever? And hers? How wonderful. You see, this is where we are. Now, Michael,
sir,
your person who you would like to work with, your person, is a genius. Treat him like a genius. Treat him like a absolutely, maybe above average normal genius, a super guy, super girl, whatever person may be, and they are absolutely fantastic. And then what will happen to the previous labels? The previous labels are kaput, they're gone. They don't apply.
Yes.
And we have another genius. Now, is it that simple? It is. Is that how you can each do it for yourself right now?
Yes.
See? Each one of you think that you don't know. And as long as you think you don't know, you don't. And when you start thinking that you know, then you reveal the fact that you do know, and you always did, but you didn't believe in yourself. And this can be done. This can be done. When people with handicaps come to my presence, I treat them as though they don't have a handicap. I will not push them around, and I will not give them special treatment. I tell them, "You're just like the rest of the gang. You can do anything they can do," and they do it. Because they live up to my expectation of them, and the world lives up to your expectation of you. Now, what is your expectation of you? That's the test that you have to ask yourself. Kind of exciting, isn't it? Well, how did we do here? Pain pills let the body heal more quickly. We talked about Bill on that. Activity of medicine and stem cell utilization. We talked about that. We did pretty well.
So,
yes?
Do you know why I asked this question? I read a study, research, conducted in Britain on autistic children. They were using a particular type of drug for them called A1. It didn't work. It worked for some time, and after that, it didn't work. But your explanation is fantastic, because it's like the best thing is to treat the mind and not the use of drug. Because the drug only works for a little while, and it doesn't work anymore. They withdraw back to themselves.
So that's principle that you're working with.
Sir?
Just principle.
Yeah, just principle.
And what we try to do is to say, this is the problem we've had in the past and it doesn't work. This is the condition we've had in the past and it didn't work and it's not going to work now. And of course, with that kind of teacher, it won't work. Because they have been conditioned to believe that it didn't work because that didn't work. Now, if you are the type of person who is a teacher of whatever you are and to whomever you're with, if you are that kind of person and you say, "Hey, no problem, let's work on that. That's great. Did you know," you say to the person you're dealing with, "I have never met a person so beautiful like you are, such a genius that you are. You just tickle me pieces. You are so wonderful. Now, let's go right to work on that. And if you got time, I'll work with you after school, and I'll work with you through the night, and I'll work with you for the next month, until all of a sudden you'll be the tippy top of the class, and then you'll be the tippy top of the school, and you'll show everybody. Me? Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to show everybody else, because they all call me dum-dum, you know. And you see, and when you do that, but it takes encouragement on your part. Good teachers are rare, because good teachers do not teach. Good teachers have the student reveal that they already know everything. And the good teacher lets the child reveal and know that they are revealing it. But we've all had good teachers in our life who excited us about something. And that excitement made us into the best students we could ever be. Very good. Okay, any other question before we prepare for lunch?
We take it during discussion.
Okay, sorry about that. Save it during discussion, and we will have a good discussion. That comes after lunch. So, okay? Enjoy. I love you. I love you. I love you.